2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you for the gift of mercy. Thank you for the gift of love.
Yeah.
Father God, all that is packed in this unspeakable gift. Father, thank you for saving our souls.
Thank you, Lord.
And giving us a mind to worship Jesus.
Yes.
Father, thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Now, I studied this verse and I looked at it all week. And then when I read it this morning, I come to church and get here early and I read over my lesson. And it said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And you know, there's a word in that verse that I totally overlooked. Thanks. Thanks. So I had to add some thanks into the message. Because, you know, some people, you go to the store, somebody hold the door open for you, and somebody say, thanks. Or, you drop something, somebody pick it up, and you say thanks. Or somebody, do something medial for you. And you just, it's just normal for us to say thanks. But this word thanks in this text ain't that kind of thanks. It's not that kind of thanks. Okay? Now, and I get caught, and I had to go to the text and say, let me look at that word thanks. You know, it's a whole lot of thanks in the Bible. The whole Bible is comprised of thanks. But let me give you a few verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Can I give you a couple more? Just a couple more. Listen. Look at this word here. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Here's one, last one. In everything. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You might say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Let me start right here. Give thanks. Give thanks for your life. In a day and age where since 1973, almost 50 million babies been aborted. That's a reason to give thanks. I ain't going to go there. I'm just saying, give thanks. So when the writer of the text Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How about that? Unspeakable, unspeakable. Listen, when you think about what God has done for you, I'm talking to the saints. You really can't describe it. You talk to an unsaved person, someone who don't know the Lord, and it's really almost impossible to describe. It's almost too wonderful for words. When you think about, when you try to explain to somebody where God, the hole that God pulled you out of. It's beyond description. It's inexpressible. Somebody said, it's inexpressible. I can't even tell you how good God's been to me. Okay. Oh, come on now. I sit here and I had the title of the sermon. I am glad I'm a Christian. But then I heard the choir sing, it's good to know Jesus. It's good to know Jesus. Okay? Why? Because he's died for your sins. He died for our sins. People don't sit here and say, well, you Christians, you're just all y'all always talk about the blood and the blood and the blood. But what Paul would write this, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul called him. He said, our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty, we might be rich. Oh, we're not talking about mega rich, mega church rich and all that. We're just talking about rich and the fact that, you know, when you die, when you lay up here, it ain't over. It's just beginning. We touch text like that. Let's keep moving. I'm going to talk about why I'm glad to be a Christian, or why it's good to know Jesus. And I got a few reasons here about this unspeakable gift. How about to start here? And this is just first Sunday of the new year. I'm glad I'm a Christian because I know that my sins are forgiven. How about that? Hey, see, we sit here and we go, oh, there we go. No, that is everything. That's everything. You know, because you cannot see Jesus. You cannot take your sins to heaven with you. Amen. You cannot take your bitterness, your hatred, your anger, your unforgiving heart to heaven with you. When I be preaching to the Bloods and the Crips and the Heartless Felons and the Headbusters and the Young Gangster Disciples, all the gangs, I said, let me tell you something. Ain't no gangs in heaven. Okay? Ain't no gangs in heaven. There ain't no white supremacists in heaven. There ain't no Bloods and Crips. Everybody love everybody. You can't go to heaven, man. You ain't going to heaven. You never going to go to a funeral and see somebody in a casket with their hands balled up. Mike Tyson, he ain't not going to have his hands balled up when he goes there. Oh, come on now. And listen. This is the message which we have heard of him. I mean, 1 John 1:5. Watch this down. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do I need to read that again? Amen, me, yes. If we say we have fellowship with him, we in a relationship with him, we love him, and we cherish him, and we respect him, and we fear him, and reverence him, that's what we say, and walk in darkness. Walk like we don't know him. Talk like we don't know him. Live like we don't know him. We lying. Do not the truth. Come on now, here we go. Here we go. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Why did John have to say that? See how John said it? In the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Oh, but if we confess our sins, amen. He his two names for the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sins, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. It's not in us. I want that word in you. Somebody say, I want the word of God in me. I'm glad I'm a Christian because I have been set free. How about that? I have been set free from sin's power. Oh, come on now. I sit here and I think about Teddy. I think about all the folks that was here. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm not only glad that I knew she knew the Lord, but I'm sitting here, I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know Jesus. Because I sit here and I talk to people, and I talk to so many people. And I say, how do y'all deal with life without Jesus? How do you deal with life without a Savior, without a Lord, without a prayer life, without a heart of worship, without a church family? And I'm sitting here like, how do you do it? How do you do it? How many know, you know, you ride around town. I know how they do it. You ride around town. And all you see is churches is closing and psych care opening over here. Psych care over here. Psych care over here. Psych care over here. Mental health facility. Mental health facility. OPM. Because folks are turning away from the Lord and turning to the world. Let me tell you something. Your little bad kid need the Lord.
Amen.
You need the Lord. Little bad kids need the Lord. They don't need all them pills. We pilling them up and we taking them to the doctor, and the doctor's coming up with stuff. Well, you know, he's got anger anxiety. He's got detachment disorder. He's got this. He's got this. He's got fatherless and he's motherless. And that little boy needs the Lord.
Amen.
He needs to sit up under the word of God. He needs the same thing Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed. They needed the word. Took them from their family, put them in a foreign land. Made them eunuchs. Guess what they did? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. They served the Lord. They didn't have a church family. They was in a foreign land. I mean, they had all heathens. And they, guess what? Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Well, you gotta have children set church. You gotta have a swing set. And you gotta have, you know, you gotta let them. No. They need to hear the word of God. From the little wee ones all the way up. Train them up. Train them up. I'm glad I'm a Christian because he set me free. How many here remember when you was bound? Paul says this. He says this in Romans 6:20. He said, for when we were the servants of sins. That means, you know, you had the cloth over you. And you was a servant of the devil. Whatever the devil told you to do, you did it. Walk wherever. Hey, listen, they partying over here. Party over here. They're getting high. They're doing this. Whatever. We were servants of sins. And were free from righteousness. We were free. We had to do what was right. Doing what was right was lame. You was a square, L7, lame-o, whatever. Because we was free from righteousness. When you're serving the devil, right ain't even in your vocabulary. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Anybody here other than me? Is there anybody here other than me? It's a shame to some of the stuff we did, some of the places we went, some of the things we said. Is it? I know it ain't just me and Dave. Oh, Lord. How many here would be doing a whole lot better if they had all the money they spent serving the devil? But now, come on, here we go, Paul. Here we go, Paul. You listen to me, Sylvia. This is not a sad message. This is powerful. But now, being made free from sin. Come on. I like that. Being made free from sin and become servants to God. I hear you. I hear you guys. You have your fruit unto holiness and to everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now watch this. For the wages of sin is death. We ain't gonna talk about that. For the wages of sin is death, and death never lays off. Okay? Get your vindicator out today. Get the plain dealer. Whatever paper you read, there's a long list of deaths in there. Okay? Folks that die in. We went up to the cemetery, those of us who went to the cemetery on this Friday. Oh, there were so many fresh holes. Oh, man. I mean, it was everywhere. It was new holes. New holes. And them grave diggers is working overtime. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that mean, Pastor? Through your believing in him. That is John 3:16. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave the lost world eternal life under one condition and one only.
Amen.
Okay? Don't let nobody tell you got to jump through hoops to be a Christian. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got to speak in a foreign language. And you got to tithe. And you got to, listen, this is what you got to do to go to heaven. To have eternal life. You have to believe. Now, I get a hard time believing. Now, that's where your faith come in. God, give me the faith to believe.
Amen.
Give me the faith to believe. He'll give it to you. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, shall receive eternal life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now watch, you see repentance here. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me give you one more. I'm going to give you Bible verses. Ephesians 1:7. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Why? Because I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. We've seen the song, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the Lord, redeemed by the Lamb, in whom we have redemption. How? How? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, you got to know Jesus. Are you glad you know Jesus? Somebody write down these verses. Somebody can take my notes. Say, Pastor, can I see them notes after church? You can just take them and write them down because you got to know Jesus. You got to know Jesus. Somebody say, well, I want to know Jesus. You got to receive Jesus Christ. Understand who he is. Amen. Amen. Keep going. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I like this one. I've been sealed. I've been sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're sealed, we teach once saved, always saved. What's that mean? See, if God sealed you, you can't unbreak the seal. You can't unbreak the seal. Now, I work as a prison chaplain, and guys come to me all the time because we got a religious service documents that says, you know, I want to change my religion. And I say, what you going to change it for? You never had it. See, you can't change your religion. Okay? If you a Christian, Pastor, I don't want to be a Christian no more. Well, if you don't want to be a Christian no more, you know what? You was never one.
Amen.
See, you are never a Christian if you say, well, you know, I'm a Rastafarian now. Uh-huh. You know, can you give me a Rastafarian Bible? Yeah, I can give you one. Well, you know, I'm converting to Islam. You ain't converting to Islam. Where you converting from? You can't unsave yourself. I hope I'm making sense. You know, you cannot unsave yourself. Okay? You can't get out of this if you're saved. If God saved you, he has sealed you. That's what Paul's saying. In whom ye trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. See, a lot of people get saved, they heard nothing.
Amen.
And that's why they're not sealed. You can't be sealed if you ain't heard nothing. Okay? He said, in whom you also trusted. People ask me, say, you know, they'll ask me, they see my ring. They say, you've been married for 35, 36 years? I say, yeah. They say, how you do that to the same woman? Yeah. See, we have a contract. We got a covenant. Okay? And when they say, well, what's the key to it? Commitment. We ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about being apart, okay? See, and when you come to a covenant relationship with the Lord, you're not getting out. You're not getting out, okay? You don't want to. See, in whom you trusted after you heard. That word heard means you understood. Somebody explained to you in detail what it means to be a Christian. And after you heard it, you processed that thing. You understood what it was going to cost. You understood the fact, the trust factor, the commitment factor. You understood all that. And then you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation. Mm-hmm. In whom also after that you believed. You can't believe what you don't understand. Okay? Many of us sign them contracts. We sign a contract. We ain't read the fine proof. We ain't read it. And then when they come back and say, well, you owe us all this. We ain't read all that. We signed that AT&T contract. That you stuck with this phone for 4 years. Okay? See, the job of the church is to preach the gospel in a way where you hear it, understand it, and receive it. See, we get it all backwards. Most churches, all they want you to do is join and start tithing. See, let me tell you something, folks. Once a person joins a church, it's hard for them to get saved. Okay? It's hard for somebody to get saved after they join the church because they think joining the church is the ticket to heaven. Well, I'll join the church. Let me tell you something. Hell gonna be full of church goers. Hell gonna be full when folks have been in church a long time. Okay? I want y'all to be one of them. I want y'all to be sealed. Okay? Sealed. Like Stevie had it right. Stevie said, signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. Okay, now that's it. You belong to the Lord's hand. We don't teach that because we know what that's going to be offensive. Well, listen, if you get saved, the life that you now live is not your own no more. Okay? You belong to Jesus. Okay? So you got to turn and walk different. Here, let me show you how Paul says it. Because the Bible can explain things easy. I'm in Ephesians 4:29. Watch this now. Because you've been sealed. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Folks that hear you ought to hear grace flowing out of your mouth. Oh, man, say, oh, man, we got a whole lot of Christians that had a problem with that. Okay? But why does Paul say that? He says, and because you grieve the Spirit. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let me tell you something. The same power that God used to save you is the same power he'll use to clean up your life. He'll wipe it clean. He'll clean you up. You want to be clean. You know, like the man said, I said last week, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thy unbelief. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and glamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Have forgiven you. You have a forgiving heart. Forgiving heart. You know, in the world, you sign a contract, you give them a down payment. How many know how long you have before you can cancel that deal? 3 days. Okay? You give a down payment, and you got 3 days. Say if you bought a car, if you buy a car, and you got 3 days, you can turn that car back in. Now, the car dealerships don't want you to know that. Okay? You can turn it back in. You're probably going to get all your money back and whatever, but you can turn it back in. 3 days. Let me tell you something. God says this. He says, now he which established us with you in Christ and have anointed us is God, who have also, watch this now, sealed us. He sealed us. We didn't seal ourselves. See, if we seal ourselves, we can unseal ourselves. This is why people walk away from the Lord. They walk away from church. They walk away from the church. They walk away from their faith because they sealed themselves. You talk to some people and you see them, they doing a little better. They doing better. They got a little money and they got a job now. And you say, what happened, man? What's going on? Well, you know, I decided to get myself together. I decided to walk away and I decided to make a change in my life. Let me tell you something, folks. That ain't saving faith. Okay? Okay? You, as long as you in this flesh, you will never, ever decide to turn to Jesus. Okay? This flesh will not let you ever wake up and say, you know what? I think I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to put my church clothes on and my church shoes on, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm just going, you know, listen. If that has happened to you, okay? If that's happened to you this morning, and you say, oh, I'm going to go to church with my grandma, let me tell you something. You didn't decide to do that. When Ray decided, or Gloria decided, grandma, come pick me up, I want to go to church. You're just going, I only got a couple gallons of gas in the tank. I guess I'm going to go to church. Listen, that's God working in you. Amen. God working in you. God is working in you. God is reaching out to you. Why? Because that's what he do. Because this flesh is never going to say, you know what, you need to stop drinking, stop getting high, stop smoking dope, you know, stop vaping. You know, stop. It ain't going to tell you to stop doing nothing that's going to destroy you. Why? Because John 10:10 says the enemy, the devil, come to do three things. To kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, I come to give you life. And to give you life, how? More abundant. Satan never going to call you, wake you up and say, you need to go to church, you're going to be late. Satan going to say, sleep on, silent night. Sleep on, bro. Sleep on, sis. Oh, come on. Listen. In whom you trusted. I like this verse. After you heard the word of truth. I hope you're hearing the word of truth. Hearing to understand what the man of God is saying. In whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise, Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. That earnest mean what? It's a down payment, bro. That Holy Spirit in you letting you know it's getting better. I'm coming home to get you. I'm coming back to get you. I like that part of it. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I know Jesus. You know why? I said it earlier. Got to my notes. I got ahead of my notes. Listen, folks. I said this about the psych care, the mental health places all over Youngstown, all over the world. They get money opening up these places. They're trying to do what only God can do. They're trying to do God's work. And man has turned from the church. There's a time every church in Youngstown be vibrant. Folks be loving to come to church. But now folks is just turned from the church and they turn to these doctors and psychiatrists and everything. And I got a whole list up here. You know what? You turn on the news, America has a mental health epidemic. Somebody said 1 in 4 kids has got some kind of mental illness. That's the last straight from the pits of hell. Oh, they got mental disorder, behavior, oppositional defiant disorder, extreme temper tantrums, and severe disobedience. You know what they need? And I work with these fools. Excuse me. I work with these people. I work with them. They got manuals. They got manuals like this. This is what happens. You go to school for a long time and you get a manual like this. It's bigger than the Bible. Of all the disabilities and all the disorders that you can have. And they'll find one for you. If we walked in there and we just walked in there and said, hey, I ain't feeling good. Well, you got this. You got something. You know, I can't sleep. Well, maybe you got sleep disorders and, you know, whatever. Here's what Paul says. Here's what Paul says. I like this. He says, be careful for nothing. Okay? Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about everything. Some things God put on you to strengthen you. We worry about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Not everything don't need to go to psych care. Okay, you don't got to call the doctor for everything. Something you need to take to the Lord. Take to the Lord in prayer. God, listen, deal with me on this. Watch this now. He said, let your request be known to God. Watch this now. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Paul, David said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. If anybody needed a psychiatrist, David would have. David grew a beard and slobbered all over his face and acted like a fool just because he didn't want the king to know who he was. And the doctor would say, well, you know, you got some kind of disorder. Then David says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Come on now. See, a lot of our problems, a lot of the world's problems, a lot of the Christian problems, they're not right. See, and they're not right with God. That's the first step. Get right with God. He'll handle some of that anxiety. He'll handle some of that depression. He'll handle some of them temper tantrums and stuff. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Are y'all getting this? Also, I'm glad I'm a Christian because I can take it to the Word. I ain't got to worry about going to see the psych or going to Belmont Pines or somewhere like that. Okay? Watch this now, Psalm 37:5. Watch this now. Stay with me. I'm trying to help somebody. I know somebody said, well, this is clergy malpractice. There might be some psych people in here. Clergy malpractice. You telling the people that they don't need doctors. They need the Lord. No. You crazy preacher. They need these pills. They need help. Put them in a straitjacket. And I got a story in the Bible where Jesus healed a lunatic from Gadara. He'd have been on all kind of medications. Oh, he'd have been on everything. He'd have been on Xanax, you name it. He was a crazy man. But what did he do? He ran to Jesus. See, some of us don't stay crazy. Because we scared of Jesus. Because we, if I go to Jesus, I got to put my drink down. I got to put my butts down. So you don't stay crazy until somebody lace up something with some ecstasy. Then you're running around the street naked. Then you run right to psych care. And then, you know, you go to psych care, they can't talk about Jesus. They can't tell you about Jesus in psych care. You know you're in the wrong place, saint. You go there, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. You can't trust in the Lord. There ain't no such thing. You need some pills. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Some stuff that's coming in your life for a minute. And you know, the Bible, what's our favorite Psalms? Though I walk through the valley. Some of us in the valley, you're just having a valley experiment. Don't set up camp there. Okay? Don't set up camp in the valley. See, this is why people go to psych care, because they just set up camp in the valley. Well, you know, I'm in the valley. And just stay there, get comfortable. Just stay there. Got the Pittsburgh Steeler chair. In the valley, you know, watching big screen in the valley. Well, you know, I'm in the valley. No, you know, the Bible says, though we walk what? Through the valley. Listen, folks, let me tell y'all something. Don't think the pastor don't have no valley experiences. Okay?
Amen.
They say being a pastor is the most depressed, I don't call it a job, but, you know, for word's sake, for lack of a better word, it's the most stressful, depressing occupation in the world, being a pastor. And lonely. Okay? Let me tell you, when I leave up out of this pulpit, I'm depressed. I'm like, oh, I heard somebody say something I shouldn't have said. Oh, this person, you know, I didn't upset this person. And then God say, you need to upset them all. You keep upsetting them. I take it to the Lord. See, I take it to the Lord. Oh, you know, you upset this person. And then somebody will call me and say, you know, I was blessed by your service. How about that? One person blessed. Another person ready to shoot me. Can I keep going?
Amen.
I just want y'all to commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Okay? We walk away from God. We walk away from something wonderful. God is wonderful. God is wonderful. Let me give you another verse here. Since I'm on the psych care people. They ain't going to listen to this. This First Peter, I like the word of God, the way God put it no man can. He said, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Okay? Sometimes we got to eat a piece of humble pie. You know, I was wrong. I done some crazy stuff. I need the Lord. You know, I was brought up in the church, and I'm all out of sorts. Okay? Humble yourselves. Now watch this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Let me tell y'all something. All these places making money off folks. They really don't care for you. They got appointments. You can't get into a psychiatrist's office. You go call a psychiatrist. If anybody in here can call a psychiatrist and see him before Wednesday, let me know. They'll tell you, listen, next appointment we got is March 18th at 7 o'clock in the morning. They booked out the building. Okay? That's the truth. That's just the truth. That's the truth. Why? Because folks are turning on the Lord and going to psych care. And God is saying, casting all your care upon him. For he cared for you. You go see, go to one of these psychiatrists and see where they live at. They living out in Boardman, out there in Campfield, in $2-3 million houses. Wow. Living like kings, watching the news. Look at them crazy folks. I ain't doing nothing giving them sugar pills. You don't know what you're taking. Taking pills, they're giving you pills that are on the bottle say, if you take these, you might have be sealed suicidal. Yeah. Take them. Listen. Let me keep going. I'm going to stop. I know we got a communion and some food. Be sober. Peter said, be sober. Be sober. Be serious-minded. Pay attention to what's going on in the world. Be vigilant. Protect yourself. Put that security alarm around your life. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff in this world. You talk to any of us, especially anybody over 50 in here. And let us sit down and talk about it. Maybe we'll talk about that at the church meeting. How much stuff we've been through? We've been through some stuff. Okay? Cindy and I have been through some stuff and got some stuff coming up we got to deal with. We got some stuff going on. Everybody in here got some stuff going on. Okay? And you can't get ready for it the day it comes. Okay? You can't get ready for it the day it comes. You got to be packed up. Is there anything worse than going to pick somebody up and they ain't ready? They ain't ready. And you sitting there like, listen, we got to go. And they not ready. Okay? And God said, we ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. We ought to be packed up and ready to go. Listen, I got more notes than I got time. And I'm not gonna get them through them all, but they'll come back to me down the road somewhere. But we need to be packed up. Why? Life is short. This is what Job said. I'm closed. This is what Job said. And Job was a Christian before the name Christian came out. Job said this in Job 14:1. He said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Wait a minute, this is coming from Job would have been the Bill Gates of that day. He would have been a multi-billionaire that day. And you know what Job said? Man that is born of woman is of a few days. Few days and full of trouble. Okay? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Stay with me because this verse number 6 is just magnificent. And dost thou open thy eyes upon such a one and bringest me unto judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Okay? So we all got an appointment. We got an appointment. The Bible says we have an appointment. Now watch verse 6. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Let me explain verse number 6. I don't have time to go through all of them. But he says, he's asking God, turn from him. Take some of the affliction off that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. You ever go to a plant where they work hard? Not like where I work at. Like where Ray work at. Where Jeremy work at. Folks can't wait to get to the time clock. Folks can't wait to get to the time clock. People got a long line of folks at the time clock. They wore out. Okay? They wore out. They ready to hit the time clock. Ain't nothing like going home. That's life. Amen. See, that's the life of a believer. We gonna have affliction down here. And if you have a few good days, enjoy them. Okay? Job also said life is I can't think of the verse. Talk about sparks going upward. But he says it's a hireling in his day. You know what? When we check up out of here, when we work, live our whole life, it's like one day of hard work. And when we punch that clock, okay, we punch that clock, it ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. When I worked at General Motors, and I did work at General Motors, down in them spot weld pits, I'm hitting the spot weld gun, the sparks is flying all over me, going down in my shoes, and I'm stepping on them, trying to get them to go off, because my feet is on fire. And I couldn't wait to hit that time clock. That's how life is. Life is us hitting that time clock. Life is us hitting that time clock. Can I give you one more verse? Let me give you one more verse. Debbie got here just a little late, just so she won't feel like she didn't get enough sermon today. I have to use whatever I can. Okay? He said, I'm glad I'm a Christian. Why? Why? Because I have an inheritance incorruptible. Okay? Peter said, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Come on, I'm going to keep going. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Here's the part I love. Reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, Teddy had a reservation. Okay? It was reserved for her. And this is the point I'm trying to make. That's it, Kenny. You can't get to heaven on Teddy's resurrection. And as much people love Claire, listen, and they love Teddy, they sit up here and give all the testimony. That reservation is only for one. It's only for one. Okay? Cindy got to have her own reservation. Much as I love to take her with me. She got to have her own reservation. And Amaya got to have her own reservation. And she keep on living. She got to get a reservation. Bible says, you ain't got no option. You must be born again. Don't let them folks tell you that when you got sprinkled when you was a little baby, you got sprinkled and that washed away all the original sin. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. There'll be a whole line of folks out there getting sprinkled. Okay? Somebody said it. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Listen, who are kept by the power of God. God will keep you as long as you're here. Teddy was kept. Big Dave was kept. They was kept. How? By the power of God. How? Through faith unto salvation. Come on now. Through faith unto salvation. See, you can't get to heaven without faith. See, people, everybody's going, oh, so-and-so in heaven, so-and-so in heaven. Listen, let me tell you something. Without faith. Okay? Without faith, you can't go to heaven. Why? Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, and nothing that doesn't please God is getting into heaven. If you don't please God, you're not getting into heaven. Well, God loves everybody. Don't believe that. Okay? Well, you know, God hates the sin, love the sin. Listen. That's cool. You want to ride on that? That's fine. But at some point, sinner, unsaved person, listen to me on sermon audio, whatever. You must be born again. You must be born again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right. Let me give you a comforting verse. This is a comforting verse. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is for comfort. This is for comfort. Okay? But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See what Paul's saying, there's a way that we ought to mourn. There's a way we ought to mourn. There's a way that the believer mourn. Especially when you mourn in someone who's a believer. And there's a way that the unbeliever should mourn. Okay? You lost somebody. Hallmark got it all wrong. Listen, ain't nobody dying lost. See, everybody that died, you know where they at. There's only two places they can be. You get an elevator, that elevator goes two ways. Your loved one ain't lost. You know where he at. That's true. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, listen, the dead that died believing in Christ. Okay, this don't mean the dead that, you know, you bury them and they got their Bible in the casket and they got a big cross on and you know, they got a what would Jesus do bracelet on one hand. That don't mean dead in Christ. Okay? The dead in Christ are the ones who understand and believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. Okay? That's the gospel. It's so simple. People make it so hard. The gospel, Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How about that? So shall we ever be with the Lord. It don't stop. Okay? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. We need comforting. We need comforting. We've been through. Folks. Okay? Since I've been here in 9 years, 10 years, I don't know how long I've been here now, 9 or 10 years, but we've been through some stuff. 8. I got demoted. About 8, 9, 10. I don't know how long I've been here. I've been here a long time. I think it's a long time.
Amen.
Okay? Now to watch some folks die. And one thing I can thank God for, I don't believe I buried any of them that I didn't believe knew the Lord.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
You know, I get called, people call me, and I got some people who want to get married. And I'm like, do they know the Lord? I don't like marrying folks that don't know the Lord. Yeah. You know? You gonna marry me? I like marrying saved folk. Yeah. Why won't unsaved folk want to even get married? I don't don't even understand. I'm talking too much. Cindy said, be quiet. That's my niece.